chapter, Isaiah chapter 40, beginning to read at verse 1. Let us hear the word of God, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and to cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters at the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he gives increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless this reading to each of our hearts. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank you this morning for the written revelation that is before us. We're conscious, O Lord, that this word, this book that you've given to us, comes from the very portals of heaven itself. It is your letter to us, your truth. Help us to understand your truth. because apart from your Spirit, we cannot understand it. So we ask that your Holy Spirit, that he would come and lead us into all truth, and take things of our Lord Jesus Christ and reveal them to us. Grant, O Lord, that you would encourage us today from your own word, and build us up in that faith that you once delivered to your people. Bless us now and give us understanding. We need your aid. We need your help. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to reflect this morning simply on a few words from verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It was a practice in old, it's still a practice today in my homeland, and it was a practice of old in the churches way back in Puritan times, but it's still a practice in many ways in Britain still, to take a text for the church for the year. And this is the words I would like to leave with you as a text, a motto type of thing for the year. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, regarding our humanity, all of us are familiar with different forms of strength, such as physical strength and mental strength and so forth. And there's one common denominator with every kind or every form of human strength. It all eventually fails. Because this world we live in, of which human strength is a large part of, is subject to decay. The scripture tells us this world, the heavens and the earth, they will perish and they will all grow old like a garment. In fact, the Lord says he will fold it up like a cloak in Hebrews chapter 1. Even in ourselves, as the years go by, we know within our own physical bodies that our strength begins to diminish. We don't have the vigor of youth as we once had, some of us anyway. It begins to fall away, and the years take their toll. And eventually, our human strength utterly fails us. Some may ask why. Well, this is just how the Lord has created us. We are created as dependent creatures. All strength apart from God is derived strength. Therefore, it is measurable strength. Thus, it must come to an end. All of us must recognize, whatever our strength may be, whether of body or mind or spirit, if it's of our own making, one day it will utterly stop. It will fail us. Therefore, we must never place our trust. We must never place our trust in ourselves and our own strength. Even if one is a young person full of vigor, it doesn't guarantee sustaining strength. Isn't this what the prophet says? Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. This is why we ought to wait upon the Lord. Remember what our Lord said to Adam, "For dust you are, unto dust you shall return." We're just dust. That's exactly what we are. We're made of dust. But you will notice a contrast is drawn in our text with what has just been said. God is not like man, you see. He neither faints nor is weary. He is the one who gives strength. He is the source of strength, true spiritual strength. Earlier the Lord said, "To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing." In verse 25 and 26. He is the one who gives power. He is the one who gives strength to the weak and to those who have no strength at all. We as human beings are basically feeble creatures. Just go to a hospital and you see how feeble we are. Our own strength is in the process of gradually drying up from the moment we're born. another year has passed. We're all a year older. And for most of us, that means our strength has diminished a little more. But sometimes not only a physical strength, but perhaps our spiritual strength has suffered this past year. We tend to dry up spiritually in a fallen world. But through the exercise of faith in Jesus Christ, by looking unto Him, we can be refreshed, we can be renewed, we can be strengthened in our walk. And that's exactly what is said here in our text this morning. So I'd like us, as we stand on the threshold of another year, to look at this text and take it as a motto for ourselves for the coming year and for us as a church. That we would really look to our Lord Jesus Christ this coming year and seek the renewal of spiritual strength continually. But first from our text, I would like to draw out this picture of a true church. A picture of a true church. But those who wait upon the Lord. The church, of course, is the gathered people of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Theologically, we talk about the visibility and the invisibility of the church, and we talk about the three marks of the church. But here we have another quite distinct description of what a true church of Christ is, in the words, those who wait upon the Lord. That indicates that the church is made up of men and women who depend solely upon the Lord. Christians are a people of hope. And that hope is anchored in the Lord God Almighty. The church are a people who rest in the righteousness of God, a righteousness that has come to us through bloodletting, the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross. That is what the church is. As Peter said to our Lord Jesus, He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He's speaking of the church. The real Christian believer is one who finds their hope, their confidence, their strength in Christ alone. And the believer can say with Paul, I have such trust through Christ toward God. 2 Corinthians 3:4. And as you trust in God, then as a Christian, you wait on God. Therefore, the whole church are a people who are waiting and trusting in God. If you're a Christian this morning, then this word, these scriptures of truth, should be precious to you. This particular text should be precious to you. And the Word of God is your creed. It's your only creed. Oh yes, I know as a church we have our Westminster Confession of Faith, we have our larger and shorter catechism, and so forth. But wonderful as they are, they're human documents. They're human documents. They're helpful, yes, but they're human creeds. What we always need to ask is, what saith the Lord? Because it's within this book you find the Lord, and you find all the theology that is absolutely necessary for a Christian to understand. As one Puritan puts it, there really is nothing outside of the Scriptures binding on the believer to the least degree whatever but the Word of God. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this Word, it's because there's no light in them, says the prophet. Only this Word has life in it. You search the Scriptures, Jesus said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that speak of me. And as Peter testified of the one who said the Scriptures speak of him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So as the church, we should adhere by implicit faith to all that He has revealed to us in His Word, and absolutely nothing else. Nothing else. I remember our professor, one of our professors in the Free Church College in Edinburgh, saying, If you want to plant a church, a free church of Scotland, he says, you'll fail. Because that's not what you're called to do. And I remember seeing an article in one of our magazines years ago in the OP magazine about planting the OPC flag in a certain city. I wrote to the person who wrote that article, never got a reply. You will utterly fail if you're all caught up in denominationalism. We're here to plant the churches of Jesus Christ. His church, not our church, not a denomination, but his church. Because the true believer, the true church will testify. We wait alone upon the Lord, and the Lord is the one who teaches us. For it is the word alone that is infallible and inerrant and able to produce life. This is why Paul emphasized to Timothy, young Timothy, remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As your pastor, I would counsel you and urge you in this coming year to give yourself afresh to the searching out, the studying, the meditation, and the memorization of the Word of God. For it's in this Word alone you find rich nourishment for your soul, so as to grow up in Christ. Here, beloved, is where you can renew your strength, for here the Lord speaks to your heart. So the true church then will be faithful to the Lord in her doctrine. And she also waits upon the Lord for grace and faith in the doctrines of grace and the testimony with which she is to work. What am I called to preach and proclaim as a pastor? Quite simply, the Word of God. This is why the office of the ministry has been known in the Reformed churches. I didn't know, it seemed to disappear here in North America, this in many areas. But a man is not called to be a teaching elder. A man is not called to be whatever, a CEO or whatever. This is what they have in the churches over here a lot. But this is why the Reformed churches in Europe from the Reformation always called this office a minister of the Word. This is why the pulpit was high in these churches, because we all sat under the Word of God. It is this Word that should govern a minister's life and his pulpit proclamations. Again, as Paul instructed young Timothy, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I wonder, is that time amongst us? For according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. How many this morning, perhaps even in this city, are listening to fables? Men preaching their own thoughts, their own inventions, and so forth. Whereas the calling of the minister is to preach, to proclaim the revealed will of God in the Holy Scriptures. That is calling. Because in the Scriptures alone we find strength. And our strength is renewed. You see, if God's word rightly proclaimed does not break a man or a woman's heart, how then could anyone expect the message that is toned down and dressed up or prettied up to make it more palatable to people's taste? How could that save anyone? How could it convict anyone? You see, if the church, if it is to remain faithful to the Lord, must always remember where its strength lies. Its strength lies in God, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is why her ministers must solely rely upon God for power. See, human eloquence cannot convict, it cannot convince, for human eloquence is basically the weakness of the flesh. This is why we must use plainness of speech. Jesus was so plain in his teaching. He was so easy to understand. He spoke the people's language that they could understand it. And this is why ministers must use plainness of speech and proclamation, and we must use it in witnessing to others as well. Only the Holy Spirit can convert the soul. Only the Holy Spirit can speak to the heart. It's only when He, the Holy Spirit, works in and through the gospel as it's plainly proclaimed that the word becomes effectual to the hearts and souls of those who hear. One can think of Lydia. It was the Lord that opened her heart to hear the things spoken by Paul in Acts 16:14. So pray, dear church of the Lord here, that the Lord would open many hearts through the word proclaimed from this pulpit this coming year. We live in a day where some, perhaps more than we think, believe the church needs to set aside what they refer to as that old-fashioned way of preaching God's word. We don't need that any longer. It doesn't bring results, they say. Do they know more than the Lord himself? Do they know more than God's word? Is not the preaching of the cross of Christ the power of God unto salvation? Is not that what the word says? Oh yes, we can improve many things in this life. But the Lord's plans are perfect. And they need no improvement from me or from anyone else. You can invent all kinds of ways and all different methods to bring into the church all you want. But spiritual life can only come in God's way, and His way is clearly through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what He says in His word. And I accept that. I wonder, do we realize that through pulpit ministry, God works miracles. He enlivens dead souls as the word is faithfully proclaimed. He strengthens believers for the day of battle. So let us then wait and learn to wait upon the Lord and do His work the way He has commanded. But this warning, this awaiting here involves more than dependence upon the word, so to speak. We depend upon Him, the Lord, as the psalmist puts it. My expectation is from Him, Psalm 62:5. Think of all the little birds waiting in their nests with their mouths gaping open, longing, calling, crying for their parents, so to speak, to bring them food. Should that not be a picture of the church? The church of God, a company of people with open hearts waiting each Lord's day upon the Lord to feed them, to fill us with the words of life. So we can draw strength for each new day as we face a fallen and hostile world. You know, dear friends, as I was preparing this message, I thought, in many ways our expectations are far too low, or far too small. Some of us get this idea, to be small means we're correct. That can be deceptive. Do you expect the Lord to convert large numbers of people? Ask yourself that question. Perhaps you think that's only for large churches and special times. But I ask the question, is it? Is it really? What makes us conclude that? Is it because our expectations are too low? That we really don't have any expectations at all? Should we not expect more of God? And will we not receive more if we do so? Is our Lord not able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? You see, I read Spurgeon a lot, as you know. And one thing that always sticks in my mind about Charles Spurgeon, he never went into the pulpit on the Lord's Day without the Lord expecting the Lord to use his word to open someone's eyes, someone's heart to the truth. I don't think we have that expectation anymore in many of our Reformed churches. We're too busy trying to be correct instead of having a love for souls. I wish I could motivate you to raise your expectations, to look to the Lord more, to pray more for souls, to see this place filled with people. Are we content just to be small? Are we quite content to be that way? I hope not. But you see, it's only the Holy Spirit can raise one's expectations. And this is my prayer, that all of our expectations may be raised for this coming year. And truly pray and work to see more and more needy souls come into our midst in a place like this. That God may use us in some way to reach the lost in Springfield, and there are many of them, and to see believers grow up in their faith. But there's something else in this waiting that is needed, and that is patience. Something that appears at times to be in short supply. So we have dependence, we have expectations, and we have patience. That makes up this waiting upon the Lord. Patience is absolutely desirable for us as believers to have and to exercise. We need it to overcome affliction, because in this world, Jesus says, we shall have affliction, shall have the tribulation. We need endurance, we need perseverance in holiness in a very unholy world. We need to continue in hope and abide in Christ. James tells us, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's not easy. But we must persevere in the will of God and ask Him prayerfully for the eyes of faith to see Him even when everything else seems dark. To believe in His love even when it might appear to you He is angry. And to rest in His promise even though you feel He seems to be taking too long in answering your prayers. You see, this little word, wait, is a word that is fit for a father in Christ and does not come out of the mouth of a babe in grace. Let us ask that we would have the grace to be able to pronounce this word, wait, as it were, rightly. Let us learn patience. Let us not be in a hurry. Remember, God knows what He's doing. God knows what is needed better than you, better than me. So this is what a Christian ought to be, first of all. And this is what a church ought to be, waiting upon the Lord, in dependence upon Jesus Christ, in expectation from God, patiently waiting until He gives us the blessing. But let us consider further here, for a few moments, what the church that waits needs. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now in the previous verse, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail, verse 30. And what the prophet is saying, even those who know the Lord, even those who wait upon the Lord, need reviving. Because we're human. We're no match in and of ourselves for the demands of this present life. None of us are. But that doesn't mean we throw up our hands and we give it up. Because the power is beyond us, beyond ourselves. It is divine power. That's what needed when the word says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew the strength. The Lord is actually saying, God enables us to draw from a strength to do the impossible. That's what that word means there. And Jesus says, with God all things are possible. Matthew 10:26, he also says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Mark 9:23. Do we actually believe that? It's God's word. The prophet says, those who truly wait on the Lord can expect great things. As God strengthens them, they shall mount up, he says, with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, God gives confidence in him that simply doesn't let us lie down and give up. But it's not a matter of willpower, but of expectancy for waiting on him. That is the key. He knows before we even ask or even think what we need. And we know he knows we need strengthening. As long as we live as mortals in this sin-cursed world, we are subject to change. And for as the world is full of changes, so we as creatures of the dust are subject to the same change. We blow hot and cold, don't we, many of us? We kind of mount up to the heavens with a burning zeal for a while, and then we sort of plummet to the depths of sorrow. Think of Elijah on Mount Carmel. There he is. He's calling down fire upon the prophets of Baal. Seize the prophets of Baal, he says. Do not let one of them escape, in 1 Kings 18. He brings them down to the brook Kishon and executes them there. Oh, how brave he was that day, how he stood bravely and strongly, this great Elijah. In less than 24 hours, we see the same Elijah running away from Jezebel, hot and cold. And now he prays before the Lord that he might die. It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. 1 Kings 19:4. So you just see how vulnerable all of us are, how susceptible we are to weakness. You cannot censure Elijah, because Elijah is a man of like passions as we are, as everyone who confesses Christ. We're all the same as Elijah. But here's this promise: they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because through our Lord's strength, we shall mount up again to the heights with wings like eagles. Indeed, the very depths to which we can plummet are in many ways prophetical of the heights to which we can climb again. Was not our Lord who said, I will bring again from the depths of the sea, in Psalm 68:22? You see, if you know the Lord, you will always need renewal. Simply because even in Christ, we're imperfect. We're sinners. We're human beings. There's this continual struggle. Paul talks about it, about the believers in Romans 7, of this remaining sin within us, that we're struggling all the time. The rags of the old nature that tend to drag us down. And regardless of how we ascend in the Christian life, we always have the need of Jesus Christ's blood to cleanse us from all sin. Repentance is not a one-off. Repentance is a daily thing. All of us have this natural corruption within us, for all of us are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the psalmist says. When our first parents fell in the garden, that corruption spread to all. Thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5:12. You see, every time you walk past a cemetery, every time you see a funeral, it should remind you that we're fallen creatures. Because there'd be no cemeteries, there'd be no funerals if there was no sin. But thanks be to God for his blessings. What encouragement to know, despite of all our failures and all our fainting, through Christ's grace, we can be reconciled and recovered. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Psalm 37:24. A promise to you, believer. So take heart. You are kept by the hand of omnipotence. Although your glass may be low, the Lord will fill it up again. And you, dear child of God, shall rejoice again in the Lord and have a renewed confidence in the God of your salvation. That is our Lord. But we're creatures. We're human creatures, full of imperfections. The sun doesn't always shine in our lives. Our trees are not always adorned with fruit. Our gardens doesn't always bloom with roses, the gardens of our lives. As human beings, we have our high times, we have our low times. We rise and we fall. So there's always this need for us to be renewed. And what a wonderful promise when we come to our text. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Perhaps there may be some here this morning who feel their strength is failing them. Well, go to the Lord and pray. Ask him to strengthen you. Otherwise, you will continue that road of decline. And that is painful and it's dangerous and it's dishonoring to the Lord. You see, Jesus would not have his children so in this heavenly race. Therefore, if you feel your strength is failing you, go to him. And he shall give you the strength. We must renew our strength, for it's for our own good. After all, it is no credit, it is no witness to the world, is it? For anyone who profess the name of Jesus Christ to be weak. When someone is weak and feeble, they simply become a burden to themselves and to others. Who can bear a broken spirit, says Solomon, Proverbs 18:14. It certainly is no gain, no benefit for the Christian to be weak all the time. But what can you do to help others if you yourself are weak and helpless? To be weak leaves one vulnerable and in great danger from the enemy. In such a state, it's especially very likely that you will give in to temptation when you're weak. The one who's blessed is the one who's strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And to that dear one, the joy of the Lord is their strength. God is his praise and all his salvation. It is for the glory of the Lord and your own usefulness that you should be strong in the Lord as a Christian. We need to be a strong church. Therefore, every one of us need to be strong in the Lord, strong in him, given to much prayer, and building one another up in the things of God, not tearing one another down. So let us this year make sure all of us as a church should shun this spirit of lethargy, of wasting away. What an awful pining sickness when a church is that way. We should all be given to prayer to our Lord and ask him to restore within us a right spirit, to wait upon him so as our strength be renewed. Do not all of us need a measure of renewal? I know I do, as a pastor. The ministry is not an easy calling, although many people think it is. It's not an easy calling. It's joyous, but it is draining, mentally and spiritually draining at times. It takes its toll. So I need your prayers more and more. But I know many of you may be in the same condition, and you need strength, you need prayers as well. You need to be renewed like the eagle. And this can be done for each one of us by our mighty God, for he can lay his hand upon us and say, be strong and fear not. He says to us, be strong and fear not. And it shall come to pass, because he is a sovereign Lord and he loves us. So may each of us have this deep desire, deep longing to be renewed. And to be in this insatiable craving to live in the fear of the Lord. And as we come near to him, he will draw near to us. May the Lord make this promise good to us as a congregation and renew our strength. So let us join in fervent prayer with one another this year for such a petition, such a desire. Again, look at the words of our text. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength. It's a promise. It's a promise to those who love him. The reason we may not have such strength is simply because it's our own fault. For God's promises are our precepts. When you look into his word and you see his promises, it is your duty, it is my duty to seek those promises. To claim those promises. And here, with this promise to renew your strength, I ask you, why not? Why not have this promise fulfilled in your faith walk with Christ? Or is sin holding you back in some way? Perhaps holding on to a pet sin, a dear sin that you won't let go. But you need to confess it, repent, and take hold of this promise in prayer. Those who wait on the Lord, he shall renew your strength. Get rid of that sin. Get rid of that indifference that so easily besets you, and look to the Lord. But let us come in the third place and the final place and ask the question, how are you to renew your strength? Well, the text, of course, tells us very clearly, they that wait upon the Lord. It's by continually waiting upon Christ. What is it to wait upon the Lord? Well, first of all, it's to wait on him with a deep sense of confidence and an eager suspense. You see, if you're a Christian, you're living in a tension, in the midst of a tension. You're living with these promises. They've been actually revealed to you, but as yet have not been fulfilled. So there's this tension. So then, does one just sort of kill time in this world? Do we simply sit around drumming our fingers, waiting for something to happen? No, this waiting can be described as standing on tiptoe, as it were, looking ahead with eager longing in our hearts. Paul described it to the Philippians, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal." That's action. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So the apostle is drawing for us a picture here of making steady, rugged progress that is sustained by conviction that God's glory in Christ is ours. You see, waiting is a great part of our faith. Waiting is what faith does before God answers, come. And God gives to us many great and precious promises in his word. And here he tells us, and this is the promise, to wait. As to the how, well, I ask a few questions of us all. Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to let God set the pace, so to speak? Or are you such a controller that you just can't live on the sovereign Lord's terms? You've got to do everything yourself. Is not the prospect of having the glory of the Lord as your eternal delight not worth the wait? So I call upon you as an individual believer this morning to pray and to ask the Lord to revive your heart, to renew your strength. That's the same for us as a congregation, as a church, that we must come together in the spirit of prayer and cry to the Lord and get alone often with our Father in prayer. Archbishop Layton, who's written many wonderful commentaries. In fact, he's got the classic commentary in 1 Peter. He used to go into his room. His servant said that he would remain there for 2 to 3 hours, having locked the door. He brought nothing in but the Bible and a candle. And when he came out to speak those gracious words, the servant says, they still linger in his works, like the echoes of music. The Bible and the candle were his only, he says, earthly illumination. He needed the prayer to bring him divine light. And you read his commentary in 1 Peter and you will see the result of that. How much time do we spend in prayer with God? Perhaps all of us can say not enough time in prayer in the closet. But you see, when you lay hold upon God, you shall be rewarded with strength for service. You see, you cannot have your life sustained as a Christian without God's renewal. It just will not, your life will be nothing. As you eat physically to stay alive, you must eat the Word of God to stay alive spiritually. You must sit under the preaching of the Word. Those who ignore the preaching of the Word are asking for trouble in their profession. Those who refuse to come to the ordinance of God are actually doing a disservice to themselves. You're dying within spiritually. God has given us these wonderful means to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And you cannot survive without secret prayer. One says, without constant restoration, we are not ready for the perpetual assaults of hell. We're not ready for it at all. Be much with God in prayer this year. Lay hold upon Him, and He will lay hold upon you. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only good to live upon, but it's good to die upon, isn't it? It's good to die upon. Be done with self and commit yourself afresh to the Lord as we begin this new year. And in closing, I just ask the question, are you waiting upon the Lord? Are you resting fully upon the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Are you called upon Him daily to renew your strength? And may the Lord grant that this will be the year that we will see the results of believing prayer in this congregation. That's what I long for. To see this place filled with people wanting to hear the Word of God, wanting to worship the Lord God Almighty. Surely all of us can come together and cry unto the Lord, Lord, renew our strength. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may He bless you throughout this coming year. Well, let me just take this opportunity of wishing you a happy and blessed new year. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you this morning for this wonderful promise. Help us to wait upon you, because you alone can give us the strength for each new day, each hour that we live in this fallen world. You give us the strength, the spiritual strength, to continue on our journey back home to where our citizenship really is. Bless your word to each one of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We will sing to the praise of God in hymn and the hymnal, Trinity Hymnal 165. 165.